Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, the YouTube live chat poll for today, the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Which level is the most important to win in the November elections? Which level of government do you deem to be the most important? Local government, state government, congressional government, or presidential? Go vote and let us know why you think the way you did. I'm going to read some of your responses there shortly. A lot of people weighing in on this one today and a lot of different thoughts on the issue. Right now, we are watching as after last, well, I guess it was a couple days ago, yesterday, when the articles of impeachment were delivered from the House to the Senate, they have now convened so that they can take up that impeachment and determine. There's so much procedure that goes on in these things. It is nerd stuff, like way out of my nerddom of government. When I like to take in, you know, the civics of how our country functions and all of the limitations that are put on government and the process being made to be so glacially slow to get things done in government. I like that. I respect that because the more rapid you can get things through government, the faster the government can screw us. And I don't want that to happen. But I don't need to watch all this procedural stuff. It's kind of boring. I just want to know, are they going to take it up or are they not going to take it up? And I think we all know they're not going to take it up. But it'll be interesting to see if there are any Democrats that break the ranks and, you know, say something or articulate something that shows that they have seen this issue of border security and the terrible job that Alejandro Mayorkas has done as the DHS secretary, that we're keying in on the issue being something that needs the attention that it deserves. So we'll watch this and we'll see if anything happens, but I'm not going to take you to roll call votes that are not even for things that are ultimately going to determine where this case immediately goes. Just a lot of procedural stuff. There's an interesting article here on Fox News. Former Attorney General Bill Barr slammed New York prosecutors for the, quote, obviously political Trump hush money case, calling it an abomination as jury selection continues in the landmark trial. Barr, who led the Department of Justice under the former President Trump, argued the case signals what the real threat to democracy is, in his opinion, the excesses of the progressive left. Bill Barr, I don't know that there are like pen pal notes being exchanged between Mr. William Barr and Donald Trump, but anytime he comes out and says something like this, I do kind of lean into it. I don't really see, I see Bill Barr as somebody who wasn't seeing the election results the way Donald Trump was and was not willing to go along with it in any way, shape or form And I don't disrespect him for that, but I know a lot of people, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in the way he exited towards the very, very end of Donald Trump's presidency. I don't think that you can look at the hush money trial and everything else and say, like, I don't know anyone who can look and say there's no politics involved in this. None whatsoever. I said this earlier, I think this week on the show, it's really sad, but these trials have now become the campaign battlefield for Donald Trump. And the field was set by Joe Biden's Justice Department. So this is all is fair in love and war and politics, I suppose. But watching Donald Trump go into Harlem and speak there and then comparing it to Joe Biden in Pennsylvania. Interesting to see, like, Donald Trump campaigning in New York City. Well, that's because he's in New York City. He didn't, like, choose on the map. We really got to work on trying to win Harlem. That's not how this goes. He went to that specific bodega, which is where that individual was shot, and it drew a lot of attention. The story was very high profile. But Joe Biden is in Pennsylvania for a very particular reason, because he needs to win Pennsylvania. He said this.
I've been to every single of the toss-up states so far. And guess what? If you knock anybody knows anything about polling, it's awful hard to poll these days. Because, no, I'm serious. But guess what? Even in the polls that are being used now, we're ahead in 35 polls.
I could almost get a bingo off of just that clip. Whispers, guess what? No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean, the more crutches he uses, the less I feel he's in command of his messages. He falls on his crutches when he is wavering a little bit. We're ahead in 35 polls. Maybe he's talking about internal polls. Maybe they know something that we don't. But that's not what the majority of polls are showing right now. Here's more from him in Pennsylvania.
One that offends me the most is when he refused his president to visit an American cemetery outside of Paris when he was president. Why? He said that those soldiers who gave their lives were, quote, was his quote, suckers and losers. Suckers and losers, he said it. Who the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is? These were heroes. These soldiers were heroes.
That was angry Joe Biden. Joe Biden has a greatest hits that he goes through, and of course he's campaigning. So I kind of get tired of the when we're going through a primary and it's like Nikki Haley goes to this place in New Hampshire, Nikki Haley goes in that place in New Hampshire, and you can stitch together the same thing that they say at every single one, which is the same thing that we could play for you with Amy Klobuchar talking about Snow Woman, which is one of my favorite things that Donald Trump ever did, was nickname Amy Klobuchar Snow Woman, I believe was the name. And she told the same joke over and over and over again and made it in her mind. It was funny. And she thought it was part of the greatest hits, and it just didn't land. Joe Biden's going to do that. Donald Trump's going to do that. Everyone's going to do that. The question is, what kind of things are they talking about? Are they emotionally sensational things? Are they policy based things? Are they current event types of things? We have a consistency.
My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton.
I don't know how this guy's going to finish this race. I mean, I literally don't know how he's going to finish the race. The only way he's going to be able to do it is if they just don't put him out there. I feel bad for him. I can't not feel bad for him. I also feel very bad for the country. There's a world where Joe Biden isn't the president anymore and somebody else is. And we can be upset and mad about the policies that person has, or very happy about the policies that person has. They take what if Donald Trump trips over his words, they use that against him. And the people on the left on the CNNs, the MSNBCs, and in the podcasts that people listen to quite a bit now, and more so than those mainstream media outlets, they take a slip up from Donald Trump, or if he switches some words or something, and they do as they see Joe Biden actively slipping up. They apply exactly what you would say to Joe Biden, and then they just very boldly and blatantly say it about Donald Trump. And it's basically like if these thought leaders, if these influencers from the left say it out loud, like, you know what? Donald Trump has some age concerns himself. If they say it out loud, then it gives permission for other people to just start saying it out loud. There is no force to make you understand and speak in reality terms that exists. You can, because of your political bend, just speak whatever you want into existence and say it over and over and over again and make it be so. There's no reality that exists in that. And that's where the policies and the reality of what's going on in the day to day comes into play, because you can only get away with that when times are at least, they don't have to be great, but they have to be good enough that your attention isn't being diverted while you're listening to your favorite left-leaning podcast, maybe it's your right-leaning podcast, and you're driving past the gas station, which I went to last night, and it's $3.99. Just a hair short of $4. $3.99, $3.89 if you have the easy pay or whatever it is. It's very hard to listen to the sensational, emotional pleas of a politician when you're paying $4 gas. And that's $4 gas in Southern Illinois. That means that it's much higher in other places in this country. Those are things that actually resonate with voters. So when Donald Trump goes to Harlem and people are paying attention to him, I think that stuff matters. And if you look at a place like New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, you could go all across the country and look at these big cities. And you see the kind of policies that are put in place there. And you're looking at this YouTube live chat poll, which level is the most important to win in the November elections, local, state, congressional, or presidential. I ask myself, like locally here in St. Louis, this isn't going to happen. I don't even know if we run Republicans in St. Louis. And I say that seriously. But if Republicans gained access through winning an election to run the city of St. Louis, how quickly would we see a dramatic difference? Would we see a dramatic difference? I think we would see a very dramatic difference. In the state of Illinois, of course, if Republicans were able to take the state elections, which we are in like a midterm year, we don't have the statewide this year, I think you would see a dramatic difference in the existence that you actually feel and experience on a regular basis if the party swung all the way from one side to the other. In Missouri, if it went all the way blue, you would feel that difference in Missouri. Presidentially, though, there's so much executive authority that exists in that office. It's hard for me to not look at the presidential election, specifically in this year, but this is what it seems like we say every year, that the presidential election is going to be the most important one to win. Brad, what do you think?
I have gone back and forth on this because I truly believe as a matter of principle that your state, and the closer the government is to you, the more direct impact it has on your life. But under these last 3 years, I've also watched the Biden administration kind of show how the national government can seep into your life and directly have an impact on you through things like threatening to ban gas stoves and stuff like stupid stuff that goes into your home. They wanted to control that. They reached out to social media companies and said, hey, take this stuff down. And then they threatened them to try to censor your speech. These are direct infringements on your life. And so I looked at that and I was like, man, the presidential election is really important because they control that policy and those bureaucracies. But I go back to state governance. Your state governance is your most important governance. If you look at a state like Florida, the Biden administration isn't able to force Florida to do anything because they have good, solid state governance. It's big enough to take on the federal government and small enough to be accountable to the people of that they're representing. So I'm voting state on this one.
When you compare red states and blue states right now, boy, is there a difference. If you look at Ron DeSantis, Florida, and a J.B. Pritzker, Illinois, whew, it's like different countries in many cases. It's hugely impactful. Ryan, what's your vote?
This is a good question because in any election, it could change. Mm-hmm. And since we're talking about this election, I'm actually going to go presidential in this one because I do believe that what matters in this one is that Trump can clean out the federal government. It does need to happen. And until that happens, there's a lot of other things that really wouldn't matter. So I think in this one, if Trump is able to do that, then maybe in 2028, you know, it does change, and I would vote for congressional or state or local. Certainly in 2012, I probably would have voted for congressional. But in this one, presidential.
G-Wibs agrees. He says, I live in Illinois, St. Clair County, so no hope there. Aw, G-Wibs, come on. We can do it. We can work together. He said, but to me, the presidential election shows me the state of the country, and I try to be optimistic. I do think that if you have somebody at the very top, you have the best, that's the best marketing plan to showcase what a particular party's policies are. So you have the direction. I mean, look at Joe Biden. Look at what he prioritizes. Look at what he prioritizes over other things. Look at what he doesn't even address. When the country is screaming to pay attention to, say, the southern border, all he wants to do is blame Congress, and not just Congress. He wants to blame the House of Representatives. And why is it that he wants to blame the House of Representatives? Because it's the only place that Republicans have the majority. That's why the attention is put on there. It's just a political play. President Biden cares only about politics. It's all he knows. It is what he's best at. It's all he's ever done is be a politician. So, of course, he would. I don't know why we would expect any different from him. Let us know what you think. Which level is the most important to win in the November elections? We're going to take a quick break, talk about some fun stuff when we come back here on the Annie Fry Show with Brad and Ryan, myself here in studio. Go vote and let us know what you think. Leave a comment if you so choose. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. A reminder to go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Which level of government is the most important to win in the November elections, local, state, congressional, or presidential? So go vote, and we will get to more of that in a little bit. I think it's time, Ryan, to talk about the elephant in the room.
Oh, no, there's an elephant in the room? I didn't even know there was one.
I think you know. It's an elephant in the room.
Oh, that. Yeah, go ahead and talk about that, and I'll follow.
You sure you don't want to
lead? No, I'm totally cool with following on this.
Oh, there's a Fox News article about three popular sayings and their surprising origins, and the first one is elephant in the room.
That's what I was going to say. And I felt bad scooping you. Mm-hmm. And because I do that sometimes, and I can tell that it's not good radio, and I appreciate the flow of the show.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Speaking of the elephant in the room, do you know where the phrase comes from?
No.
Do you?
Mm-mm, no.
Neither did I. Fox News reports on the important things. The popular phrase doesn't mean, of course, that there's an actual elephant in the room, which would be quite something. That's literally what it says.
Okay.
Rather, it refers to a very big topic of conversation that no one is discussing. When there's an elephant in the room, typically a big piece of information, news, or dramatic moment is being withheld or avoided by many. Do you have any major elephant in the room stories? Like, have you ever been in a situation where everybody's thinking the same thing, but nobody is willing to talk about it?
Yes, but they're like really sensitive times. It's usually if somebody has like a life-threatening disease and everybody knows that's what is on everybody's mind, like at a holiday or something. Everybody knows this person might not be there next year, but nobody really wants to talk about that. That's a really uncomfortable situation, but it's on everybody's mind.
Have you ever been part of being the elephant in the room?
Oh, I'm sure I have, but you might be aware of this. I'm rather naive to certain things. So there are times...
I don't know if naive is the right word.
There are times...
I think it's more oblivious.
Where, sure, either way.
Naive and oblivious are different.
I might be a part of the elephant in the room and really have no idea. And then later figure that out. And that's the worst part.
Have you read,
later when I figure it out.
Ever been
the elephant in the room?
That?
My entire baseball career at my high school was me being the elephant in the room.
What does that mean?
You were really good or really bad?
I was really bad.
Oh.
It's not that I was really bad. I just felt like I really wasn't wanted by the rest of the guys on the team. Like, why did you try out for this? Why are you here?
Ooh, man, that's rough.
Yeah. Well, I've talked about before my high school experience not being great. And, like, they would throw my gear on the roof or they would hide it or something like that.
And say things like, we hate you, we don't want you here.
They wouldn't say it.
Well, they didn't need to say it.
But
that's why it was the elephant in the room.
Yeah, it was just all their actions, and they just, you know, nobody would come out and say it. It's like,
that's awful.
What did I ever do to you outside of try out for this team that made you hate me so much? Like, the reason I found some of my missing equipment was because one of the grandparents of the people say, hey, some of those goofballs hid your stuff behind that tree over there. You know,
gosh,
stuff like that.
Did you ever figure out why they treated you that way?
I have theories, but I don't have anything like hard or specific. And mainly I think it was because most of the team was made up of kids from a certain town.
Mm-hmm.
And
just political.
At my high school, there was like 3 feeder towns and the kids from each of those feeder towns fed in and they hung out with one another.
They're from smaller towns and you were big city Brad.
No, I was not from any of those feeder towns initially. And I moved in late whenever my family moved to Freeburg, and so I never was part of one of those groups. So I wasn't accepted by the Freeburg kids, nor was I ever accepted by the other cliques.
You had a fancy car.
No.
You're one of those rich kids.
No. I did not have a fancy car, nor was I rich.
Sometimes I think it really depends on the issue, but sometimes I think about, I'm the type of person who will talk about the elephant in the room if I feel like there is an airing that needs to happen in order to get past it. But there are other times where it's just like you sit there and you're like, okay, when is this over? Or just avoid the situation altogether. Fox News says the saying has an interesting history. The Oxford English Dictionary notes that the first recorded use of the phrase came in 1959 from the New York Times. On June 20th, 1959, the publication noted that, quote, financing schools has become a problem about equal to having an elephant in the living room. It's so big, you just can't ignore it. However, well before that, in 1814, Russian writer Ivan Krylov wrote, quote, the inquisitive man, end quote, and discussed a character who visits a museum and fails to notice an elephant, presumably in the room. So it's just a matter of something that was written one time and it just stuck. How many people were reading the New York Times to be like, oh, that elephant in the room thing, that was good?
The 1959 thing surprises me. Like, the old Russian literature thing is what I was expecting. The 1959, somebody just said it in a newspaper once. I was expecting, like, Tippecanoe and Tyler too.
Many other credit writer Mark Twain with the origin of the phrase in his 1882 short story, The Stolen White Elephant, about detectives seeking an elephant. Have you ever heard the term shrinking violet?
I've heard that term.
I don't think so.
I haven't. Do you know how to use it?
Isn't it somebody that, like, I feel like it's somebody that whenever they're placed under the spotlight, they kind of shrink away from it, and they
like
don't.
Like Ryan?
Yeah, they shrink away from the spotlight. Ryan doesn't shrink away from the spotlight.
I just don't have anything to say
right
now.
He just jumps right in there as much as he can.
It's unfortunate that you guys are talking about me.
I
don't know what to do.
Can't even not respond.
Oh my gosh, I'm on camera.
This popular expression is often used to describe a shy, timid, or bashful person.
That's me.
Someone who does not like attracting attention to himself or herself.
Right. It's totally me.
By adding a negative to it, the phrase then refers to someone who's the complete opposite of that, as in she's no shrinking violet.
Okay. I can go. What is the headline here, that these are phrases that we don't need to use anymore?
No, just why do we say
just
these
random phrases?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I really don't know that one, though.
While the expression may have begun as the lyrical name of a vibrant, colorful flower rather than a person, it's now mainly used figuratively to describe modest and introverted individuals. An early example of the phrase used in print notes the same source is from Pennsylvania's Titusville Herald newspaper in 1870. The article ripped into William Tweed of New York, believed to have absconded with public money.
Good. Tweed deserved it.
Last one. Everybody knows that. last one. Go cold turkey.
Okay.
Have you ever gone cold turkey on anything?
Yes. Sugar. and it didn't last.
You didn't go cold turkey.
I
on
did.
Sugar.
Well, I've done
for
it multiple
10
times.
Minutes?
I've
like
done it multiple times.
For the afternoon?
Yeah. To
go,
yes.
To go cold turkey on something, don't you just like have to stop doing it?
Yes. Hey, like, look, like, I have.
And actually stop, not go back to it.
I have done diets that I said, okay, for 30 days, I'm going to eat nothing but protein. And I did it. So I would say that was going
never
cold
eaten,
turkey.
Eaten, what, did you eat cold turkey protein?
Did
I don't
I
think
eat
you
cold
understand
turkey?
This is a phrase. We're not talking about there, deli meat.
Yes, I have done this. I've eaten just turkey for an entire month. That's only, what the phrase means,
never
right?
Never even heated it up. Have you ever done anything cold turkey, Brad?
Yes. Yeah, I quit bacon cold turkey and soda cold turkey after I had my heart attack. I didn't have it again. And
bacon cold turkey sounds like a great dish.
Yeah, bacon cold turkey. The hardest thing was salt. So right after I had my heart attack, they said no salt in your diet.
Do you measure that through sodium?
Yes.
Or is it different?
It was sodium is what they said. Low sodium diet. I was on a no sodium diet. So we couldn't add anything to any meals we cooked or anything. That was difficult. Eventually they took me off of it and I was able to go back and
use
it.
Isn't salt one of those things though, that once you get off of it, if you were to eat the way you ate before, that it would be almost offensive to you?
I definitely don't eat as much salt as I used to. I don't use the shaker or anything like that on food at all.
Ryan, do you salt your food before you taste it?
Yes. How did you know that? I do that.
Just a guess.
I do that to green beans. 100% of the time.
Yes.
If I see a green bean, I'm just going to dump salt on it.
But food with no salt, even in a recipe that calls for it, is atrocious. It's equally offensive as too much salt. So finding that balance afterwards was nice, but it was like a reset for my taste buds for sure.
You kind of got thrust into that.
Yeah, I didn't ask for that.
You had a hard
Well,
attack.
I kind of asked for that, but
so Ryan, you had quasi diabetes.
Hey, I just got my A1C taken on Monday, and I'll have you know it's still below 7, even though I've been eating a ton of fast break bars lately. I'm just really into those.
What were you saying about quitting sugar cold turkey?
I had a set time.
2.5 minutes ago?
I had a set time that I was going to do it, and I did it. And it does reset you, but the problem is the minute the diet is done for me, I'm like, time for pudding. And I just go right back into what I was doing. It takes me like 2 or 3 weeks, but then I'm right back to what I was doing. So
that's because you're doing, I've done this too. So I say this is from experience, but like setting, okay, 30 days and I'm not doing this. That's not a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a commitment and it can help you do the reset. But for me, in my mind, when I've done that and done it very successfully at times, it doesn't ever last because I was always looking at the finish line.
Yep.
And if you're making a lifestyle change, what you're trying to do is postpone the finish line.
Yeah. Usually it's for an event. You know, it's you're getting
smaller dress size.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's almost summer. You know, I want to look good in a sundress.
In the library.
Yeah, I want to look good in the library. What did you just say? I want to go look good in the library. I mean, that's an event. I don't know what you guys
He's
have.
He's going to figure it out too.
Yeah, eventually. He's going to be late. Dang it.
You guys, now this is the elephant in the room. That I don't know what's happening, but then tonight I'm going to realize it, and then I'll have no way to broadcast that I've realized
shrinking
it.
Shrinking violet.
What do you think he goes by?
To go cold turkey.
What the heck? You guys have something right now that I don't have. I don't know what this is. Does the audience know? Is the audience with me right now? Are you? I don't know.
I don't know, but this is great. If you know, you know.
I don't know what's happening.
I think I broke Annie.
Somebody in the chat, tell me that they understand that they also don't get what's happening. And don't listen to my words. That they understand that they don't get what's happening.
To go
cold
turkey usually refers to someone who quits something for good without delay, lead up, or extend. I'm struggling.
Come on. Okay, now at this point, somebody in the YouTube chat, let me know what I'm missing because I want to know. And the segment's almost over. We're almost out of time. Now get on there and let me know what I'm missing because there's something happening that I don't understand.
The phrase was first written in British Columbia's Daily Colonist in 1921, and it discussed those who surrendered to see a doctor. According to Merriam-Webster, the newspaper column noted that, quote, perhaps the most pitiful figures who have appeared before Dr. Carleton are those who have voluntarily surrendered themselves when they go before him They are given what is called the cold turkey treatment. I don't think this is explanatory.
Is that my nickname? Like, is that what you're saying? That I'm cold turkey and that I'm giving somebody the cold turkey treatment, like my treatment? Everybody's in the chat talking about milk. Does that have anything to do with this?
Merriam-Webster also notes it may be that the original cold turkey was a combination of cold, as in straightforward or matter of fact, and the earlier talk turkey, which dates back to the early 1800s and refers to speaking plainly. Regardless of its ultimate origins, the phrase manages to vividly capture the initial dread and discomfort that comes from immediately quitting something that is addictive. From drugs to dating apps. Dating apps? Why do you have to quit dating apps, cold turkey? Are you married?
I think that's a good reason.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Go vote YouTube poll.
You guys talk turkey with me in the break.
I don't really do that.
Somebody in the chat did get it.
Okay, good. You have to go back and listen. Oh, man. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, at least for now. Josh says cold turkey is an awful stage name. Josh, you should see the show.
Ba-ding-ching.
I wish you were all watching on the YouTube when Ryan caught up.
Yeah, it did take me a minute. I will say, though, it was really funny. Once I caught up.
Wait until you go back and listen to it in real time.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to have a good time tonight, me and the fam. Catching up on old cold turkey. I got some things to tell you, family. Don't. I can see it on your face. Well, anyway.
Man, there's so many things we could do.
Listen, kids, gather around the fireplace. I want to play something for you.
All Thanksgiving songs.
cold turkey. Thanksgiving jokes. Excellent.
Pure orange juice might have some unexpected benefits.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys drink orange juice?
No, not a lot. Every now and then.
Anytime I get it, my kids drink all of it before I get any.
We're from the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Orange juice used to be healthy.
Yes.
Because it was of fruit.
Yes. That's right. There's your fruit category.
It's got a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah.
That's
why you got to have it thick pulp.
When, you know, I have four kids and only one of them still really gets these. Well, no, maybe the 7-year-old, but lots of questions about what kind of drinks, beverages they take in. And, you know, the doctor, the pediatrician's recommendation is like they should have milk and water.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They will say, stay away from soda. I second that. I don't let my kids have soda unless it's a treat. So, like, we go down the soda route the same amount, maybe even less than, like, okay, let's have ice cream or have a cookie or something. It's, like, in the category of treats, and I try to make it so that they don't have sugary soda or caffeinated soda. And if they're at grandma and grandpa's and they let them have it, treat grandma and grandpa privilege. Thank you for watching my kids. Just return them in one piece and we'll be good.
Yeah, totally. I found a loophole in that advice from doctors, though. Yoo-hoo.
Yes.
Yeah, you who.
Go on.
It's neither milk nor
right
water,
here.
And it's not soda, and it's got all the vitamins and minerals in it, and it's not as bad a sugar as you'd think. So we drink a little more Yoo-hoo than
you know who you sound like? Joe Biden selling Bidenomics. I don't believe you.
Look it up. Come on, man.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. Vitamins and everything.
The more you feel like you're losing people, you just start yelling.
It's got vitamins and minerals.
Not a joke!
Not a joke!
These are the fun segments to do when I think about people listening to the show in the bathroom right now.
What the heck? I thought that was the conservative network.
Yeah, no, you're wrong. 36 normal weight adults were tasked with drinking either 100% orange juice, an orange drink, which sounds like the category that you were in.
No.
With Yoo-hoo, or water before eating. The researchers found that food and energy intake was lower in subjects who drank 100% orange juice compared to the orange drink. Caloric compensation from 100% orange juice was 84%. while the orange drink was -25%.
Does Sunny Delight count as orange drink?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, is orange drink like high C?
I thought orange drink was those
McDonald's
things like in the little barrels with
it's its own thing.
With the it's aluminum just, foil tops
like
or whatever.
Orange flavored liquid.
Yes, exactly. Like there's nothing to it but just like the highest sugar content. It's like there's not even any orange juice in it.
I'm just gonna take G-Wibs here, his comment as gospel here. Sunny D has about 5% juice in it.
That's a winner then.
And Amanda confirms Sunny D is not orange juice. It's, yeah, it doesn't even taste like orange juice. Mm-hmm.
No, it's different.
Or Sunny D or Tang?
Sunny D.
Oh, Tang.
I don't actually know Tang that well. Tang I just know that it has something to do with astronauts.
Yeah.
What kind of... It's a weird way to say astronauts. In conclusion, consumption of 100% orange juice. I just had to follow cold turkey with something, and this is what came up. Consumption of 100% orange juice as a preload resulted in higher caloric compensation, lower total daily energy intake, and lower blood glucose concentrations compared to the orange drink.
Oh, glucose levels, eh? Now you've got my attention.
Have you ever made your own orange juice? Like, just totally fresh-squeezed orange juice?
We probably have tried and then was like, this is dumb.
In my mind, it would take about 42 orange juice to make
a glass
of orange.
It's like, this isn't a really expensive glass of orange juice.
Pulp or no pulp? We just had this conversation.
I'm no pulp.
No pulp.
And I'm the more the merrier.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'd rather just eat the orange.
It's probably healthier for you.
Fiber.
And also, every time I think of oranges, I always think of my grandma because she says that... She said that when she was younger, that oranges were a big Christmas gift. Has anybody else
I've
heard this?
That.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because she's the only person who had ever told me that. And
it
I was
like coal or oranges.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and because I guess they were hard to get, and so it was like a treat to get oranges, especially in the winter, right? Let us know, G-Wibs.
What did you eat that was valuable nutritionally when you were a kid? I don't know if I ate anything that was nutritionally valuable when I was a kid.
Yeah, we ate some cereal. That's not really valuable. I mean, my dad made steaks.
Yeah.
Pretty odd. He still does.
How frequently
loves
and how long
grilling
did you
outside.
Have table meals?
I don't know that we all sat down around the table, but my parents were very faithful to make like a protein and a vegetable every night. And it was usually the same few things, but it was a good meal.
Did you eat it? Did you?
Yeah. It was always like, I got real picky on vegetables where it was like, and there's the other thing. When you're a kid, people considered corn a vegetable.
Yeah. Well,
now they're like, no, that's a starch.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Carrots.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. So it was always something along those lines.
What about you?
We tried to have dinner around the table. I mean, I would say on average, probably 5 or 6 times a week. My parents always did that, and the nutritional
for
stuff.
How long?
Till we were finished.
Like
we sat down.
Forever.
Yeah.
No, I mean like.
Oh. till we were done eating dinner. I don't know how long it took us.
We said the prayer together and then we left.
Yeah.
How long?
It was until I moved out.
Why is it so hard?
We've really come apart at the end of the show today. What happened? It's a Wednesday, too. Usually this is Thursday. But how long did it last? Until we were done. That's like, you can't plan that kind of joke. And you didn't mean it. I love being on the inside of this thing this time.
Keep analyzing it, Ryan.
Okay, cold turkey. Keep pipe down. Gobble, gobble.
Brad. He's on the outside this time.
Did you do that through the time that you lived
there? Yeah, until I moved out. We did that.
But like, what, 25, 30 minutes?
Yeah, I said about 25 minutes.
This is really hard.
We still got to do the poll.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good question,
which level is the most important to win in the November election? I say presidential. Ryan, you say?
I said presidential.
You went back and forth.
Yeah, I was state. I settled on state.
You settled on state. Well, we have the results here. Jackie said, I voted Congress. President is important, but Congress gets things done. What Congress are you looking at, Jackie? But I get what you're saying. Hopefully Republicans will work together and do it. Carlo also agrees congressional. Ender said, I selected local, but I'm changing my answer to state. State has enough power to stand up to the Fed, no matter which side. Your state should align with what you believe as much as possible. Lots of different answers from you guys today. Thank you for participating. We appreciate that. We have a 5% voted state. 6% said local, 18% said congressional, and 72% of y'all said presidential. So Donald Trump, Joe Biden, one of these two in November, that's where you think the most importance is. Stick around, Mark Reardon, coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.